As the silent seconds dance in their eternity about me and set aflame again the fire to inspire my nimble fingers to procure the pen and awaken it in a resurrection, transforming the ink to the blood of the writer. As once again he bleeds his acquired wisdom like a light into the world.
Good morning, Carborough and the Big Chill. This is Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else, here in the studio with my co-host, John Paul. Say good morning to the folks out there.
Good morning to the folks out there.
Oh, yeah, finally it's not good morning,
John
Paul.
Well, you didn't say good morning, John Paul, so I always follow instructions.
Right. Yeah. I've heard that one before.
Yeah, right.
I want to thank you folks for tuning in. We've got a pretty interesting morning coming up. We've got the Prometheus-bound poet's captain here, Mark Greenstreet, and a guest that he has with him.
And my guest here today is Christopher Mayo.
As well as the Triangle Youth Ballet, who will have the second half hour with us, and they're promoting Sleeping Beauty, and of course, the Prometheus-bound gang here is promoting their journey to the Apollo, and also both shows, I think, are leaning a little bit into a fundraising element, so keep that in mind as we proceed. Anything you want to announce before we roll down the canyon here?
Stock market's up.
And on a sour note for St. Patrick's Day, hopefully, with any luck, Bush will get arrested in Canada. Can't believe he's chosen this day of all days to get out of his cage.
Yes, and then if we're lucky, he'll end up in The Hague.
Yes.
Yes.
I'll just send him to what's left of, what's that place overseas? Guantanamo. Send him back and see if he can get any justice. Anyway, we'll skip that subject altogether. I'm sure it's going to be touched on John Paul's hour of...
It'll be hammered.
I'm sure.
It won't be touched.
Give him the name of your show.
John Paul's Truth Quest and Variety Hour.
Yes, if there's any truth out there, bring it to us. Anyway, Mark, let's bounce over to you and the Prometheus-bound poets.
Tell us what's happening. Yes, thank you very much. I want to say, first off, I appreciate you so much having us back for the third time. This is wonderful, and we love it here.
And a fourth, and a fifth, and everything. You're part of the family at this point.
I appreciate it, man. We're all together on this. What the deal is, in a nutshell, is we've been the Prometheus-bound poets have been invited to the Apollo Theater, and we're in the middle of fundraising. Want to shout out to real quick, if you want to help us out, I'm going to say this from the very beginning. You can reach me at mark.greenstreet@dpsnc.net. Again, that's mark.greenstreet@dpsnc.net.
One more time
with mark.greenstreet@dpsnc.net. And you can also call me, and I'll take these home phone calls at 919-602-7768. I know that's dangerous, but
Repeat that one now.
And that one, again, is my phone number is 919-602-7768.
One more time.
Yes, and you can call me anytime at 919-602-7768, and I want to get this show started.
When did we turn into a concert?
Bring the money.
Let me have a word here. Will you please? I also want to mention that in case anybody out there that knows me better than they know Mark, you can go to my website as well and connect with me on the subject. That's www.claudioarts.com.
Beautiful. I appreciate that, Claudia. And you've always been such a wonderful support, and Speakeasy has been such a great support to us, and we thank you for that. We really do. We appreciate what you're doing, yes. And it's just an incredible event, or incredible experience being here and what's going on in this place. We love it. And we have the guest here with Sleeping Beauty here. I really like that. And I kind of think that what we have with Prometheus Bound has been kind of a Sleeping Beauty, because we have a really beautiful thing here. We have an amazing group here, but so far it seems like people have been kind of asleep on us, and not knowing what's going on, and so I want to make sure we get it out there.
Meaning more the public at large.
Yeah, the public at large, yes. Yeah, we haven't been sleeping. I guess that was an inappropriate connection. Yeah, we've been wide awake. And so let me get started with a little bit of explanation of why I'm here, what we're talking about, and I'm going to do that through a spoken word piece. The rock of Hillside, the stone of Sisyphus, with a new revolution like Copernicus, a unity of humans, a raised up fist, when Prometheus Bound broke ground, hit the A-list. We had a choice in this, made it didn't look back. A blissful kss on the lips from the lyre of Orpheus. Now Eurydice, our muse, we never will lack. We're smooth and we choose like a Cadillac, painted red and blue and purple both sides of the Mac. The whole hood, the whole bull, the whole world is our track. And we're running like Gary Jackson. Get the facts in. Him and Bled Tyson, Buck Brown, y'all, it's everlasting. With Promethean passion, verbal spells they're casting, with the power to mean everything they scream like Arrington Green. Our rookie year dream team and Green Street's vision's complete. With the love of DJ Craze and Ideas Coffee House, we found our feet. And our name hit the streets. Prometheus Bound is pounding mean beats, and they never retreat. Only repeat victories in the city of the bull. And mad pulling clout, because people heard what we were speaking about, and the only things we ever choose to shout, the truth. The truth of our lives, the truth of our roots. We cry it from the hilltop, we cry it from the roof. Like two, we're standing over corporations and the media misleading us. From the back of the bus, like Rosa, we rose in the name of righteousness and relentlessness in a pursuit of consciousness beyond this mess. And like her, our mission was blessed. We are invited to be guests on an exclusive invitation from a show that tours the nation. We were honored with a chance to share the stage with history of the word. From Frost hit the road to Rhodes and history occurred. Rhodes personally asked and Green Street surely assured. The first show was scheduled for October the 3rd, followed by the 4th. And of course there was honor when the poets heard. A collective spiritual experience, our hearts and minds stirred. With a unified vision so high and sublime, like the path of Israelites, we kept freedom in our rhymes. Then we met Tara and Israel Light. They led a workshop, public speaking, up Hillside. And I share that piece with you because that is our path to how we got this invitation to the Apollo. It started with a group of poets that came together, and now we've did shows out. I mentioned Ideas Coffee House. We've been doing shows at the No Bookstore. Been doing shows all over Durham. And we were recognizing these shows, and that's what led to our...
And the original performance you referred to was at the Carolina Theater under History of the Word.
Yes, and I'm going to get deeply into that. Yes, we did a History of the Word at the Carolina Theater, and I'm going to talk to you about that. First, I want to bring in the idea that who we are. The Prometheus Bound Poets are a group of urban youth working together under the guidance of me, Mark Greenstreet. I'm an English and public speaking teacher at Hillside High School, and we're working together to communicate their perspective, the poet's perspective on life, through spoken word performance and inspire audiences through relevancy, honesty, and verbal appeal. Now, what happened with us in History of the Word was at the Carolina Theater. Here's how this went. The Prometheus Bound Poets received an invitation to perform at the Apollo Theater in Harlem on April 7th, 2009, from the producer of History of the Word, the hip-hop musical. The off-Broadway musical visited the Carolina Theater of Durham in October, and Betty Rhodes, the outreach coordinator of the Carolina Theater, invited the Prometheus Bound Poets to both perform in all three productions and perform the pre-show one evening. In the Carolina Theater's fall 2008 encore article, Words Transform Lives, writer Carl Kenny Croats Afia Carter. Quote, "This raw display of local and national talent not only electrified the stage, but validated the real issues that are facing youth today in an intelligent and relevant manner. The production held the attention of everyone from 8 to 80. And that was the that was our show at the History of the Word. At the Carolina Theater with History of the Word. I mentioned
you made a very big impression with that. I definitely have to congratulate you.
Thank you. The lady that invited us there was the producer, the executive and artistic director of History of the Word, and her name is Tara. And Tara has currently developed an arts program called History of the Word. This program is dedicated to exposing students in in-school literacy-based poetry writing workshops that culminates in a live theater experience. This live theater experience includes seeing a performance as well as creating their own performance with the work the students write in the classroom's workshops. This program is currently running throughout the New York as well as nationally. In 2004, Tara co-founded it. Co-founder became the director of educational programming and audience development at Off-Broadway Booking. Off-Broadway Booking is a company dedicated to the promotion and awareness of Off-Broadway as a brand of excellence in theater to audiences in New York City and nationally. Thank you.
They whisper, I'll just give everybody...
Yeah, never mind. I was just trying to get the guy to relax.
You're
in hyperdrive here. It's okay.
Well, see, I'm going to be honest, y'all. These are not my words. I'm reading these off a little script I have. And I got these from the sources. I actually got this from her biography.
Let's just for a minute, and we can jump back and forth here, but just let our public know that the premise under which you are here today, promoting some funds to get you to the Apollo, what happened there and why has this fundraising become a necessity? Because originally, as I recall, it was pretty much an open invitation, and then, of course, the government withdrew funds here and there. And certain things began to collapse.
Government?
So,
yes,
the government.
Our favorite subject.
Believe it or not,
I don't believe it.
So, give us a little bit of that, just so we can keep the public aware of what we're talking about.
Oh, yes,
and then
we'll
keep on rolling.
Yes. The situation was from that show we did it with History of the Word at the Carolina Theater. The producer fell in love with this woman. I'm talking about Tara. She loved what we were doing, and she invited us to the Apollo, and it was an open invitation. And she said, "Get your poets up there, and we can get you into to the Apollo. Everything was going smoothly until we hit this recession, until we had this economic situation. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that in a moment. What happened was, from what I understand from Tara, is the Apollo has lost a lot of their educational funding and can no longer put on their educational shows like they were in the past. This is going to end this partnership with History of the Word and the Apollo.
And yet we can give millions to the fat cats. It's amazing.
Indeed. And we'll talk about that with what's going on with the Endowment for the Arts and what's happening. But first I want to come back to this show, the Carolina Theater with History of the Word. Mm-hmm. It's an incredible experience. And what she does is Tara has put on a play that put on a musical that really brings young people to the stage and helps them understand themselves. And I just want to read one more little quote from this. I might read this one last blurb.
Absolutely.
History of the Word is more than just a performance. It completely integrates the live theater with literacy curriculum and is designed to encourage writing as a tool for overcoming the many obstacles that students face today. Our show and its educational curriculum promote the concept set forth by the Blueprint for Teaching and Learning in the Arts that states, theater activities can foster creative expression, discipline, collaboration, self-awareness, and personal transformations. By having students document their thoughts and stories with poetry and connect them to thoughts and stories of our characters, we can empower them to take ownership of theater as a form for gaining knowledge and expressing ideas. And that's exactly what happened to us over at Hillside High School. Betty Rhodes at the Carolina Theater communicated with Anna Frost, the language arts coordinator for DPS. And Anna Frost gave Betty Rhodes my name and said, we have a poetry group that would be perfect for History of the Word. Then Tara came down and a poet named Itzriel Light came to our classroom. And we did a workshop in the classroom. And from that, we chose 9 poets to perform in 3 shows, 3 productions of History of the Word. And one night we opened. And just to give you a first-hand account of how this felt to our young people, I want to pass the mic to Christopher Mayo. He's going to tell you a little bit about himself and then how he came into this History of Word and what it meant to his life.
Morning, everyone.
And here's Christopher.
Once again, thank you for having me. It's truly an honor and be blessed. What happened was, before I get into the History of Word, I just want to take you back to my story and give you a little background on where I came from. Just spoken word itself has been so good to me, and you know, first, you know how you got a gift and you try to kind of hide it, mm-hmm. you know, you put it to the side, but it's just one thing that you can't hide when it's there, and you run back to it every time. You know, I lost my keys. Let me write a poem about it. You know? man,
we need that,
you know?
Freedom of expression, no matter what.
The littlest things, let me write a poem about it. But it's a beautiful thing. But when you get into deeper things, as far as, you know, the loss of loved ones and deeper things like that, I grew up with no parents, so you know, well, my I'm half Nigerian, so my father left my mother, married my mother for 2 weeks for a green card, and he left me, and my mother, she lost her drugs when she was a freshman, lost her mind to drugs when she was a freshman, so never had a really relationship with her. So my grandma, actually, she took me on her wing, and when she was around I believe about 69, 70. Actually, she just turned 85 last Friday.
Happy birthday, Grandma.
Yes, that's definitely a beautiful thing, and I'm excited about it. And she took me on her wing, and she's been there ever since. And when my grandfather died in 2003, I believe I was a sixth grader. But I remember just picking up a pen and just started writing poetry, and it felt so good to just put those thoughts and those emotions on a piece of paper and just express to the class how you feel. And it's amazing. What I found most enjoying about it, it's not that the fact that I'm writing something and I'm expressing myself. It's the fact that when I do this poetry and the spoken word, how many people listen. And just what I'm going through, people listen and they take that in, and it transforms into such an energy that, you know, wow. This guy inspired me, and he moved me to the point where, you know, I'm going through the same thing, but you know what? I can get through it too. And it's just a beautiful thing just to touch people. And that's what I love about what I do the most. I love touching people and inspiring
that
people.
That is the beauty of it, and the fact that we relate to it on so many different levels.
Exactly. And it's just a beautiful thing. And I won't stop. I can't stop. I love poetry to death, spoken word, what have you, whatever you want to call it. It's just, you know, you don't even have to be a performer. You know, just anything, something happens, just put it on a piece of paper. But that's basically the story behind me. And to lead up to that, I met Mr. Greenstreet my junior year. And he's just a great guy.
At the school, I assume?
It was actually during school.
Oh, during school.
It was during school, and he's doing lunch line duty. And the guy is so amazing, you know, to entertain everyone in lunch line, he had his guitar with him. And he was, I mean, he was playing the guitar. And,
I can see it.
And he, I can't. I remember like it was yesterday. And I came up to him and I did a rap for him. I don't really remember what I did. I was just freestyling. He was like, "Man, I gotta get you. You know, I gotta get you on my team." And ever since then, he's not only been my teacher, he's been my friend. You know, he's just been a great guy to me. So that's basically how we met. And actually last year I went to Poetry Out Loud competition. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I placed fifth in that, but it was a great experience. It showed me raw how to take my raps. And how to take my poetry and then the spoken word part is when you put it on stage and you put it together in your presentation about it. And it really showed me how to do that. And that I found my power in that. And, you know, and that's how I started. But History of the Word was just an amazing experience. Long story short, just to sum it all up, just to be on a Carolina Theater stage.
It's a beautiful stage.
I looked in the green room and they have the pictures around of people who've been there. Mm-hmm. And John Amos has been there. And it was just, you know, wow, the guy, you know.
Legendary performances.
Legendary, you know, from Roots and Good Times. And I mean, man, like, it was just a beautiful thing. And like, it was just amazing. So
on that note, I'd like to give a quick shout out to the Carolina Theater, because they are one of my other writers here for the Speakeasy. They've got all sorts of good stuff coming on, so keep your eyes tuned to their website as well. We just had the pleasure of being both escort and stage manager for Judy Collins, who was on recently, and she is still amazing. At 71 years old, has a voice that sounds better than when she was in her 20s, and she never sounded bad. Also want to give a quick thanks to a studio in the woods with John Demers.
You remembered it this time.
I finally
time.
Remembered it, yes. I think our friend is recovering. At least I hope he is. If you're tuning us in, I will drop in on you pretty soon. And again, thanks for the support. And I know you want to give us a bit of a station ID there, John Paul.
This is WCOM LP Chapel Hill and Carrboro, your community radio station, the 100-watt wonder.
That's right, yes, medical of medicals. And you are listening to Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else. In the second half of our show, we've got the Triangle Youth Ballet coming up with some very important members and founder and all that. And we will get into Sleeping Beauty. That's what they're all about this go-around. And at this point, we're going back to Mark Green Street.
Yeah, yes. Well, I want to give it back to my man, Chris. And Chris, you want to talk about what History of the Word has meant to you and this invitation to the Apollo?
Oh, I did. I said it's an amazing thing. Just to go back into it. And there's no way to say it. It's just beautiful. I mean, I never been anywhere. You know, I remember going to Florida when I was little. But other than that, I was born in Mooresville. I was raised in Mooresville. I was born at Duke Hospital in Durham. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just to be a country boy, I had a potbelly stove, a clothesline, and a wash tub to wash clothes. And I remember basketball was my first outlet. And, you know, you bounce it on the ground. Mm-hmm. And that was my. And then I had a backboard, and I nailed it to a tree and took a bike tire rim and nailed that. And that was my basketball goal.
That's
right
there. That's a
practical notion,
yeah.
And yeah, we made it work.
He had a potbelly stove, and now Claudio and I have a potbelly.
There we go. Yeah. Speak for your own. Thank you very much. Well, let's roll back to the subject matter here, because we've got another 10 minutes left for you folks.
Okay, we're going to get this quick. So if you like what you're hearing and you do want to support this, you've heard my man Chris talking,
yes.
You've heard Claudio vouch for us, and you want to support us in our trip to the Apollo, the best way to reach me is at mark.greenstreet@dpsnc.net, mm-hmm. And you can reach me that email address is mark.greenstreet@dpsnc.net. You can also call me at 919-602-7768. That number will lead you to me. Me and my wife, Emily Greenstreet, we are the co-founders of Prometheus Bound, and I want you to know that we are reaching people right now. One of those groups we reached people through with was a group called Empower House, and this is a group of doctors who are together.
And they have been great to us, by the way. We just finished an Empower House show, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and it was just lovely. And Christopher Play Martin was out there. Give a shout out to him if he's listening. Definitely, it was a beautiful thing.
Oh yeah,
and I'm still anticipating a DVD. So
that's coming soon.
DVDs are on the way, still in production. Yeah. But yes, it's incredible.
DVD,
yes, sir. We have DVDs from actually all our shows, but the most recent one is the Empower House show, which it was actually a play. It was written, scripted, but we had some kinks in it. We worked them out, and everything happened for the better. And
interesting,
fantastic.
So, what's the status of the production of the album?
Still work in progress.
What's the story on that?
Just finished doing the album cover design for him.
Yeah, Claudio's done such a wonderful job with that. He did the cover, the inset. did the production. I thank you, John Paul, for putting it all together, making it happen. It's been amazing how the CDs turned out. And I sampled it for people, and they love it.
Okay.
And everybody loves it and can't wait to get out. The CD's there. It's called Concrete Childhood. We'll have that out to you soon. Okay. The DVD of this play Chris is talking about, we're going to have that out to people soon. And it has even been considered, the producer, Tara, again, up in New York, has talked about taking this play and putting it on and taking it up to New York and taking maybe national, and maybe international. Yeah,
and that's the proof right there. And mm-hmm. people, you know, we asking, you know, for donations to go to Apollo. You get the DVD, and that is proof of, you know, of the greatness that we behold.
So essentially, what is the relationship with the Apollo now? I know they lost funding from the government, and they still want you guys on stage, but there's become the matter of financing. What are they willing to support, and what do you have to come up with?
What we heard, and this is unofficial, but what we heard is that the show was a $40,000 total, and that the people from the show brought $20,000, and then the theater was supplied $20,000. So we're about $20,000 short on the theater's support.
Mm-hmm.
And that is all due to this. Yeah, this is all due to this drawback or this cutback on funding.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of going under, they just cutting off of the pieces, jettison what they can, and the educational piece is going.
Great.
And the educational piece was the $20,000 from the Apollo. And so we're doing all we can. Tara's up there working with a group. I know she's working with Whoopi Goldberg to get the word out, working with a lot of people to get the word out to people and let them know and try to get the support. It would be a tragedy if the Apollo loses this educational funding.
So it would certainly be totally appropriate to get some local support, since this is where
please,
you hail from.
You know,
please keep this in mind.
The
folks.
Apollo is a dream. I mean, not too many people go to the Apollo.
I would say there are some people that live lifetimes dreaming
exactly,
of that.
Exactly. Not even get so much go, but to perform at the Apollo.
Exactly.
You know, it's just amazing. So it's definitely a dream of mine. So just please.
Yes, we're looking for the local support, and I want to get this man. I mean, you heard it from Chris, and this is what I want to do is for these young people to get them out there to people, and it's just as Chris said, so they can share it with other people and let them know they're not alone and that we're all in this together.
Okay.
And speaking of that, I want to share a couple of reviews of our play. These are student reviews, and I believe in From the Mouths
of
Babes.
The name of the play again?
Well, we didn't really title it. We wrote it together. It was I did a little scripting of dialogue, and then I just used their plays, and we just integrated, their poems, and just integrated
just
the poems.
All the poems put together.
So I'm going to call it Spontaneous Combustion.
That worked.
But
it sounds a little insidious.
How about we call it the trip to the Apollo.
Trying to ignite things.
Apollo proof. I like that right there. Apollo proof.
Yes. There we go. But we did that back on February 20th of 2009, and it was part of the Empire House's show Bridge to the Future, and it was a great show. Some of the things that students had to say about it. One young lady wrote, she's talking about a poet. He said, "He reached me through his words and took me on the journey of some of his problems. I felt his pain and frustrations. I have never before experienced anything like that from watching a performance. It was something new to me, and I enjoyed it. He demanded the stage every time he stepped up to recite his poetry. The tone in his voice changed, taking the audience with him in his emotions." And another student shared this. That was from Rosa Jones, and this is from Tyrone Johnson. Both students at Hillside, and Tyrone said, "The best part about the play was the constant hard-hitting facts of life that brought me to the reality that we as a people have to stick together to survive. We are truly our brother's keeper."
Indeed, and I have to say I have a very similar impression to all that from just the work that you've done here at the Speakeasy. So just keep it up.
Thank you. And again, I want to give that shout out to Empower House for helping us out. Like Claudio Speakeasy, just been a great support. Like Betty Rhodes and the Carolina Theater, just a great support. And that is run by Mr. Terry Smith, Empower House. And you can find them at empowerhouse.org if you want to find out more about that group. And we are listed on their website.
Also, a quick shout out to Valerie and Carl Blake, who I believe helped introduce you folks some time back. They are out with a cold and didn't want to come and pass the germs here at the Speakeasy.
Even though
I'm sure we could have somehow encapsulated them and
had
them on. We hope you're feeling better, guys.
Yes, and I truly appreciate what they've done and the Spectacular Magazine, how much they've done for us. And
so I don't have use of that wonderful voice that sounds like my hangover in Carl Blake. Oh well,
those DVDs are coming soon, so definitely be on the lookout of those DVDs about Empire House. So
wonderful.
That's right. And so those DVDs, I just want to say, it culminates with a speech by Christopher Play Martin of Kid and Play fame.
Wonderful.
He is now here in Durham and doing great things for the community. And one of the things that Christopher Play Martin is doing is he has a broadcasting show called Brand News. And Brand News,
we're quite familiar with that.
Yes, it's a great thing. But
we've been on there too.
Yeah, we have two promotions on there. He's gonna also do a feature on the play.
Wonderful.
And so people can access our feature on Brand News at www.brandnews.com. News is with a Z, N-E-W-Z, brandnews.com. And just scroll down to Word Up, the history of the word story.
Part two.
Well, actually, it got changed, so it's all good. Yeah, we're good. We're featured. We're number one. So it's www.brandnews.com, and just scroll down to Word Up, the history of the word story, and that will tell you everything about it.
And let's go ahead and bring you to a wrap here, so make sure you announce. Well, if you want to finish something, we've still got time for something in closing. That's fine.
And, yeah, just one last thing is just I want to just let Claudio finish this out for us and just talk about what it's meant for him to work with us on the Speakeasy here, our shows, and especially about this the concrete childhood. I want to do one last thing. I want to make sure everybody knows that our success is due to the family we've created. And Claudio is a papa in this family. He really brings us all together. Some other notable names are Bruce Bridges of the No Bookstore, Betty Rhodes of the Carolina Theater, Christopher Martin of Brand News. Just so many people have really come together and supported us so well. And Claudio, if you'll just finish out with one thing to say about that concrete childhood and how you felt about having us on your show, and then we'll be out of your way.
Didn't you have another poem you wanted to render there?
No. Just information. This
well, you know, I'm in your corner for one thing. Being a poet and an expressionist myself, I can fully appreciate when people really sort of bring the language of the streets, the language of the soul, into the atmosphere, because it's so lacking in common media. God knows we need all the help we can get, and I think you're a good shot of the adrenaline of truth in the arm. I've got high ratings with me, so I think the Concrete Childhood, the album that I'm very proud to be a part of, as well as producing in the artistic sense and so on, very pleased, and I'm also appreciate John Paul's involvement in this whole thing, making that whole thing come about. So you may acknowledge yourself there, Mr. John Paul. Oh, yeah, leave me high and dry. That's okay. There's payback coming for this. So, good shout out to you guys. I would really appreciate you supporting the Prometheus-bound poets, as I really do want to see them get to the Apollo.
Thank you. So one last time, if you want to support us, you can reach me at mark.greenstreet@dpsnc.net, and you can reach me on the home phone at 919-602-7768. Thank you so much, Claudio.
And my pleasure.
We've had a great time.
And you can also certainly reach them on my through my website, which is www.claudioarts.com. I hope the pronunciation will make up for the spelling I didn't give you.
All these times, man. Okay.
Easy, be easy.
I apologize. I do.
For what?
Pronunciation.
Oh, no, I wasn't getting on you. I was trying not to have to spell the whole darn thing.
It's
a double entendre with the speakeasy. The idea is speakeasy, let it all out, but at the same time, we can be cut and dry.
Yes, sir. Well, we thank you, and have a great day now.
Pleasure having you on, and we're going to do rotating chairs at this point, so I'm going to have the Triangle Youth Ballet folks take the seat, and you guys are welcome to stay if you want. If you need to get back to school, which I fully understand, I will see you next time. We know there'll be a next time, so... And I'm going to give the headset to whoever wants it. And now, John Paul, you've been involved, or actually your wife, Sharon, works with the Triangle Youth Ballet. Give us a little scoop on that, if you wouldn't mind, while we're rotating chairs.
Sharon is a dance teacher at Triangle Youth Ballet. She heads up the young children's program. And Sharon and Lauren have been working together as dance teachers for decades, starting out. At Bounds Dance Studio, Sharon started working as a teacher way back then. So, that's the quick rundown of that.
Wonderful. Sharon, I knew that you had involvement, and I wanted them to also realize, because I don't know how familiar I'd made you with the fact that John Paul and I actually worked together. At the theater, things go so quickly that you rarely express everything.
Yes, no, I knew that John Paul was down here at this radio station, which is a fabulous thing. So, and Sharon and I do go decades back.
Yes.
Thanks, John Paul.
I do want everybody out there to realize that
started when they were very, very young.
I do want everybody to realize that the show with the Prometheus that we just had on, give me a minute.
Go for it.
Will be archived later on today, just to remind you folks, anyone that didn't get to listen to it or would like to download it, both half-hour shows today will be archived either at the end of today or sometime very soon.
That's assuming the internet stays functioning.
Yes, exactly.
At the station.
So just to keep you folks informed. And now I would like to introduce Lauren, please say your surname.
Lauren Stahas, but Lauren everybody Stahas. Calls me Lauren.
Lauren, indeed. And you have with you guests.
I have with me the associate director of the Triangle Youth Ballet and the choreographer for Sleeping Beauty, Christine Greider.
Hello.
And I have with us our music conductor, our music director and conductor for the Tchaikovsky Virtuosi, who is providing the fabulous live music from the pit,
wonderful,
which is spectacular, Andrew McAfee.
Good morning.
And good morning to all of you. And I know you're here to promote. One suggestion I might make is that we just get up and face the microphone. That way there won't be this horrible static every time we move the thing. Or, John Paul, you can cut it off when we don't need it. I want to welcome you folks aboard. I know you're producing Sleeping Beauty, and I'm going to let you go ahead and do your song and dance about it. Tell us all about it, and I know you want to promote it to the local area, so we can fill the place with audiences, so folks.
Oh, we would definitely love to fill the place with audiences, but if I can hark back for a moment and tell you how impressed I am by Mark Greenstreet and Christopher Mayer.
Absolutely.
I mean, what a spectacular story.
Yes.
I mean, it is a...
It's very encouraging all the way around.
It's inspiring.
Very, very inspiring. Very,
yes,
inspiring.
I wholeheartedly agree, and I really want to see these folks go somewhere, so I've gotten on board fully in helping promote and produce them.
Well, it's a fabulous endeavor, and kids are, of course, very important to the Triangle Youth Ballet as well. So
I would say there are many parallels.
There actually are, even to the point where we're going to try to make everyone come see the show so we can have our funding and our support.
Absolutely.
For the production that we're doing, and the fact that we work with kids, and parallels to thanking the Carolina Theater, which is a fabulous,
yes,
fabulous place.
My second home.
And even the parallel that's not a parallel, they put the spoken word on stage, and we tell stories without any words at all, which
absolutely
is which is sort of the other side of that coin.
And to show the Shakespearean side of that, the man that made legend of it, Marcel Marceau.
Completely true.
Speaking in silence. Anyway, the mic is yours. Please feel free to negotiate between you and the conductor and your artist.
Well, Sleeping Beauty, we're doing the classic fairy tale Sleeping Beauty with children ages, I believe, 10 through 18, and some grown-ups playing the parts of kings and queens and ladies and gentlemen of the court. And
couldn't get the wee ones to play the grown-up parts.
Well, you know, it just... the wee ones are lovely pages and,
yes,
sylphs and fairies and the like. But it's the traditional ballet with the Tchaikovsky score. And the kids, this will be our third endeavor with the Tchaikovsky Virtuosi. We premiered with them last May for the premiere of Sleeping Beauty, for which, if I can just say, that Christine Greider got an emerging artist grant from
wonderful
the Durham
congratulations
Arts Council for putting
thank
this on.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It was a wonderful... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. It was a wonderful opportunity through the Durham Arts Council to receive this grant
well
as an emerging artist. So I'm very thankful to them and everyone over at the Durham Arts Council.
They show good taste.
So, indeed, they did. Christine did the choreography based on Marius Petipa, which is the classical version of the choreography dating back to the turn of last century, and has restaged it for our dancers, and boy, they just look spectacular. But the Tchaikovsky Virtuosi with Andrew, it was last May, Sleeping Beauty, and then the Nutcracker this past December at the Carolina Theater, and now
which
it's
is a
our
wonderful
third
show
production. Thank you. The kids do a spectacular job. I'm
yes
always amazed and surprised at how fabulously they do. So,
isn't it amazing how it all comes together in the end? You have all these little things you still think need to be worked out, and somehow it just gels in that final moment.
It's magic.
Yes, it
just
is.
It's the magic of the theater.
It is. But
yes, no doubt. That's it.
If does Andrew want to jump up and say something about it?
Let's have our maestro to the podium here.
Thank you for having me. I watched and admired Lauren's work and Christine's work with the youth. And to tie in today what Chris was saying about what he got about bringing his poetry to life,
mm-hmm,
I see the same thing happening with the young dancers and the power and meaning of working with other adolescents, you know, adolescents working with adolescents. You know, how do I fit in my world? How can I contribute? And looking at their older mentors, you know, who do I want to be like? What are my, mm-hmm, role models? And this incredible environment that Lauren and Christine create for these youth to grow up in, I think, is model, and it's powerful to see happen.
In both cases, it's a very powerful emergence and a rising above your circumstance, in very many respects, artistically.
Indeed, our dancers are hugely dedicated. They have a very intense work ethic, and they're dancing every day after school. They're at the studio every day of the week.
And you had mentioned earlier when we were having coffee that most of them have been accepted to a summer school situation. Can you enlighten us on that?
Yes, several of our dancers, and Christine, you're going to have to help me remember who, where they're headed. But I believe that we have dancers through audition processes to go to professional summer training programs, to North Carolina Dance Theater, to the Joffrey, to the Virginia School of the Arts, to
Pittsburgh Ballet Theater, Richmond Ballet.
I think Atlanta Ballet, and someone's going to South Carolina.
South Carolina Dance Conservatory.
And maybe the Austin Ballet.
Austin, yes.
So it's
wonderful.
Congratulations
to all you kids.
So yeah, they work very, very hard. We're quite proud.
And congratulations to you for getting them there.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely. Now, what are going to be some of the musical aspects that you can enlighten us on here, Andrew?
Tchaikovsky wrote the score just after he had written his Fifth Symphony. And I'm going to throw a bombshell in here. Tchaikovsky was gay. He was a homosexual.
Did not know that.
And that was not the thing to be.
I can imagine.
Back in the 1890s.
We're still struggling with it out there. Yes, I know.
So he was going through his own personal struggles with romance, with just his reputation, just who he was in the world. And he actually said that the score, the music to Sleeping Beauty, was some of his finest works. So he's already written, his five symphonies and numerous other works. So this music is extremely powerful. Now, you put it together with this magical story, and especially with the youth of, their incredible talent, and you have this combination coming together. It's a very powerful experience seeing Sleeping Beauty. And wherever you're coming from, whether it's from the fields and you're a man and you're kind of brawn and, you're taking your kids in there, right, there's something for you in there. I see it as, especially this one point in the ballet, I think it's the Rose Adage, and the lead ballerina, who is
Nicole Palumbo,
is dancing with there's four other men on the stage, and each one of them takes her hand and dances for a moment, and she is on point. She's on one foot on her toe, and she's standing there just holding this point while all these men came up and grab her hand, and the last gentleman that grabs her hand takes and walks her in a circle. And it is an intense moment, and the music is extremely intense. And what it represents to me is how a man can be supportive of a woman rather than the man, violently, attacking or suppressing a woman. It is supporting the balance of a woman.
And I hope there's plenty of bandage on those toes.
Yeah, they do take good care of their toes, but that's a really spectacular interpretation
scene
and point. But it's in the birthday scene of Princess Aurora that the Rose Adage happens, and the four princes are vying for her hand as before the magic spell of Carabosse, the wicked fairy, for those of you who don't know, who was not invited to her christening, decides to to step in and determine that she will prick her finger and die. The lilac fairy steps in and says, "Oh no, I haven't given her a christening present yet, so I will change your spell and she will sleep until the prince comes there is true love, and then when there is true love, you awaken." So it's
we all somehow do, yes.
but the story is just it's just a classic story, and Tchaikovsky is the music is just brilliant, and no matter it's. You think that it's building so much that it has to culminate then, but then it keeps going. It's magnificent, and the treat and the challenge and the opportunity for the dancers to work with live music is just a gift, and we can't thank Andrew enough for helping make this happen for us.
It's the beginning of everything else for the kids, I'm sure, because when you're working with it live, it's a totally different ballgame.
It's I went to see the Nutcracker as an audience member this past year, which is very difficult for me to leave the backstage zone. And as I'm walking to my seat and I'm listening to the orchestra tune up, I got teary-eyed and goosebumps just at the thought that we had live music for our ballet. It is just spectacular. And Andrew is so careful to make sure that every dancer has the tempo and the cut and the beginning and the end that they need so that each dancer is showcased to their best. It's wonderful.
Now, give us the performance times, the location, and any other information the public might need out there.
Absolutely. The Triangle Youth Ballet is performing the Sleeping Beauty on the 28th and 29th of March at the Haynes Theater at Chapel Hill High School, which, if none of you have been to the Haynes Theater, it is a spectacular facility for a high school. It's really quite wonderful. With the technical director, John Thomas, and our sound engineer, Carl Wetter, and Joshua Benjamin, the house technician.
Carl's in the picture. Hello, Carl. Okay.
Yes, hello, Carl. and we're just really excited to get that team back together again. The Saturday night show is at 7 p.m. and the Sunday matinee is at 2. You can get general admission tickets, which are only $10 a seat, so it's like priced for family fun.
Absolutely.
The general admission tickets are on sale at the Triangle Youth Ballet, as well as Balloons and Tunes here in Carrboro, the Regulator Bookstore on 9th Street in Durham, Dance Design at Rams Plaza, and Cameron's at University Mall. And then reserved seating is available through the Triangle Youth Ballet. And that phone number, can I do that?
Absolutely.
That phone number is 932-2676. And I'll say that several more times because Mark taught me that lesson.
Aren't you going to give us the rock beat here again, Mr. John Paul?
What was that phone number again?
That phone number is 932-2676. And the Triangle Youth Ballet website is triangleyouthballet.org. So just triangleyouthballet.org, and all of the information about that performance is up there as well. And the reserve seating is only $10 to $20 a seat as well. So it's
not bad at all.
It's really it's a fabulous way to escape the afternoon, have a beautiful fairy tale with lovely sets and gorgeous costumes and spectacular music and beautiful dancing.
Regrettably, not so much regrettably, because I have work to do, but I'm stage managing the Durham Savoyards the entire time, so I will not be able to make it.
Well, you know, I knew that there was a conflict with the Savoyards because one of our dancers who traditionally comes and plays parts for us is also in that production, and he had to withdraw. Yes. So sadly, we're losing a dancer to the Savoyards production.
We have the Gondoliers coming up at the Carolina Theater.
So. But that's what's going on with the Sleeping Beauty. So
might I ask a little bit about the choreography and anything you might want to espouse in that regard? Pull your chair up a little more.
Oops, yeah, get closer to the mic. Up there on that mic.
Let's pretend you know each other.
Become very close friends with the microphone.
That's it.
So what would you like to know?
Whatever you'd like to impart on the choreography, or maybe some of the challenges you ran into with the kids.
Some of the challenges are is that we're not a professional company, and you know, we're a youth company, and so a lot of the choreography, at least the traditional choreography for the ballet, is it's very difficult to do, especially when you're asking one dancer, the girl who plays Aurora, which is the lead part in the ballet. It is a very strenuous ballet for one person to play over an entire weekend. Traditionally, that role is split between two different dancers, two different casts, because it's easier for the dancer to do that. So I'm asking,
would that
a lot,
be first and second act type separation?
Well, not separate, first and separate act, but just like a performance one day, one dancer will do it one day, another
Thank
dancer
you.
Will do it the next day. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we're not a large enough company either to do that. So
right.
I'm asking an awful lot of my lead dancer, and in that respect, trying to work the choreography so that she can actually make it through an entire weekend and not be overtaxed is a little challenging. But it worked out very well, and she takes things, the lead dancer, she takes things in great stride. Having children, too, put into the parts of what would normally be a more professional setting is a little challenging, too. You have to work patterns on stage so that everybody knows exactly where they're going. And also, traditionally, the company itself, we're not as large as a professional company. So it's having to work those numbers on stage so that the stage looks fuller and it looks like there's more people on stage than there actually are is can be a bit challenging.
And of course, you're doing all of this training off stage, so they really don't have the same space to work with. So it's almost like a second thing has to be adapted to once you get on stage.
It does. It does. Well, what I've done is I've gone ahead and I actually mark out the floor in our studio.
Ah, okay.
So that whatever they do in the studio, they can bring to scale once we get into a theater setting. So I was a step ahead of myself when I was working that, which was really exciting.
Have we had any great comedic moments during rehearsal sometimes?
There have been a lot of comedic moments, yes. And it's just part of what I'm trying to get from the children is trying to draw their personalities into what they're doing so that they become the characters as opposed to themselves playing a character.
Right.
And it's you get a lot of, when they get into it, you get a lot of comical moments where the kids are just like, oh, so this is what you wanted, you know? And this is, I can be this prince and I can be a goofy prince and still, you know.
Who would you be if that were you? Come on now.
Yeah. Me?
No. I'm saying, got you. We had a moment right here, folks. No, I mean, I'm looking at the dancer going, and yeah, imagine who you would be if that were you, and then gradually slip more and more into that.
Exactly. And so I'm trying to drive them into those people and make them become, you know, just for them even to put a bit of their personality into that character is what I'm trying to get from them.
That's the sculpting.
It is sculpting.
The choreographer.
It is, yeah. Yes. And it's, you know, these last couple of weeks while we're working is, since we have the choreography down and they go through the movements, it's now trying to, you know, get them to put their personalities into it now so that you get those little comedic moments within the ballet that you might not see otherwise. So, yeah.
It's yeah, I wish I were free to come see this. You're not filming it, are you?
Yep.
You might.
Sorry,
oh, good. So
are,
I might be able to see it. Good.
We have a videographer coming in, I think, Saturday evening performance.
Wonderful.
To tape the show. So we could certainly.
I might have to get a DVD.
Send one your way, yes.
Wonderful. I'd love to see it, simply because I'm a big fan of the music anyway.
It's wonderful music. Wonderful music. It was actually the original score is, I think, almost 3 hours long.
My goodness.
And we had a lot of cutting and to do because...
What is the run of the actual show at this point?
Yeah, an audience won't sit. I mean, that's
right,
an awful long time.
Well, how long does it run?
A ballet. And I'll let Andrew elaborate more.
All right. Yeah, how long does it run?
It's about 2 hours. Mm-hmm. There is a 15 or 20 minute break in between. So it's not like taking up your whole day.
Oh, I'm sure it'll draw the attention.
And what did you have to do as far as orchestration changes, whatever, you know, to match up to what you can field for the performances?
It's very perceptive. The pit is small, and we wouldn't be able to fit 50 people in there. And economically, I'm not able to afford to have an entirely full string section either, and it wouldn't fit in the pit either.
But you do, I mean, you do have first, second, third, and you have the cellos, and, I mean, you have the violas, you have the whole, you just have a smaller section of each.
Absolutely. Yeah. I pride myself in that we're able to at least put one of every, all the winds and all the brass and everything there.
We leave
out the second oboe, but fortunately it doesn't have a big part in this.
Right.
And we double a couple of things, but we have all the parts covered, so you're going to hear that full orchestral sound. We do amplify the strings because we don't have the numbers, but you're going to have the full power of his music there.
So do you put the second oboe someplace else in another part, or how do you do that? I mean, I don't remember how much is in the second oboe.
You're not going to miss it.
There's not much in there.
I know. With Carl Wetter working on sound, you're going to get your sound.
You've got every instrument is covered.
Oh, pretty much. We've got all the important parts covered, and we use the full score. And I want to reassure everyone that it is the full orchestral version. It's not a reduced orchestration you talked about. There are some nutcracker performances where they condense all the parts and change it. This is the full sound that you're going to hear and the full power of the orchestra.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Very nice. Then I guess you have a lot of cuts.
Christine went through the parts when she was, you know, figuring out what the storyline, how the storyline works, and she sent me, you know, here's what we'd like to do, and I went to the score and I figured out, you know, how are we going to do this bar to this bar, and how's it going to fit together, and it works very well.
Excellent.
Wonderful.
Yeah, well, thank you to your help. I feel like some of my cuts were a little strange, but you made it work. Beautiful.
Now, Andrew, you're affiliated with some other symphonies and orchestras. Give us a little bit of your background.
My main career was playing principal horn with the North Carolina Symphony, and I did that from 92 through 2007, and I owe a lot to them, to my musical growth. And I've also been a conductor of youth orchestras. I was the first conductor of the Triangle Youth Orchestra, and I thank Hugh Partridge for that. He's got a great organization still thriving. I've also done some work with the Durham Intermediate Youth Orchestra. And I have a real passion when working with children. It's satisfying, incredibly satisfying to see their growth and their commitment to making music.
Mm-hmm. I think last time you and I connected, we spoke about William Curry. At the time, he was, I think, auditioning for a conductor spot with the Durham Symphony, was it?
That's correct. It's ironic that he and I both are finalists for the Durham.
That's the reason I bring it up, yes.
Yes.
I consider it an honor to be involved with him in that search.
Matter of fact, Bill has said he was coming on, so at some point, if you're tuning in, I'm definitely going to have you on.
Well, William Henry Curry has brought so much to the state of North Carolina. It'd be great to have Durham.
Yeah, he's great,
that.
So... I remember I was in my dressing room and I was doing narrating Gilgamesh, and he came in and complimented my performance, and in the midst of it all said, "By the way, I want you to know that I had first opportunity to take that part." And I said, "Well, my God, you've got a lot more clout than I do. Why didn't you take it?" And he said, "No, I couldn't have given it what you gave it." So I thought that was a wonderful statement coming from him.
Yes.
So he's a very generous man when he is affected by something.
And he's a great orator.
Yes, he is. I know. When he told me that, I said, why am I here? I don't know if they wanted the accent or something, but mm-hmm. It was a wonderful thing to be part of. And that is actually on CD, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
So anything you want to say in closing? Give us all the contact information again. I think we're sort of going to wrap the show 5 minutes early so we can get over to John Paul's show and switch recordings and all that jazz. One more time, this is Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else, coming at you from WCRM 103.5 FM. And we're back to Lauren.
Hey, yeah. So just one more time, the Sleeping Beauty at Haynes Theater, the 28th and 29th of March, Saturday show at 7 p.m. and Sunday show at 2. Tickets available for general admission at Balloons and Tunes in Carborough, the Regulator Bookshop on 9th Street in Durham, Cameron's at University Mall, Dance Design at Rams Plaza, and general admission as well as reserve seating available at Triangle Youth Ballet. TriangleYouthBallet.org will give you lots of information, and our phone number, I'll beat John Paul to asking me, 932-2676. And to let you know that...
That is a 919 area code,
that is
right?
A 919 area code right here in Chapel Hill. To let you also know that the Triangle Youth Ballet funds its productions by private donations as well as our ticket sales. So it's real important that our community comes out,
absolutely,
buys tickets and supports us in our endeavors to put on this production as well as our other productions. We have a large community outreach program. If anybody's interested in knowing more about our community outreach, that same phone number, 932-2676. Our community outreach director is Kate Volrath. We've got coming up a lecture demo in the school system. We've got a National Dance Week kickoff coming off the first week in May. And if you'll have us back, we'll come and talk to you about a big concert we've got going on celebrating Merge Records 20th anniversary this
wonderful
middle of this summer at the Carolina Theater, as a
wonderful
matter of fact, using all Merge music.
Well, if you get in touch sooner, next time I'll give you the hour.
Well, and we'll make that happen. So, yes, indeed. So, but thank you so much for having us on.
Absolute pleasure. Absolute pleasure.
Thanks for coming.
It's delightful working with Andrew and with Christine, and the show is spectacular, so everybody needs to
really
see it.
A pleasure having you on, and I would love to have you on just talking music sometime. Orchestra.
Yes, Andrew, that would be fun. Andrew.
And thank you, Claudia.
You might want to stick around and talk with me on the John Paul Truth Quest.
I think we've got a few political bones to chew on John Paul's show.
We might have some interesting things.
Is there something going on in the world? What?
Let me,
no, not much. Not too much.
Give me 1 second there. I just want to say I think it's a very important time for us all to come together more in response, as one would in the villages of old, support your local events, because obviously the corporatocracy is crumbling as we speak. Let's make home home again. This is Claudio Speakeasy. Until next time. Cheers.
Once again, a chill night wind blows its gales across the sea. as the sunset casts an inflamed and rippled hue across the waters. Vast distances of liquid motion stretch their infinity before me, and I have rarely felt so free. The sails are drawn for a night of rest. Where I go from here, the sea knows best. As the veils of night descend upon me, the moon emits its silvery canvas against a spectacle of aquatic celebration, as is only seen by night. The stars are scattered worlds of light against an opaque sky, and the nightfall is a constant whisper of the mysteries around me. Truly, all description would defy the beauty I choose herein to proclaim. Yet still, though encompassed by more wonder than many a man has e'er freed his soul to admire, my thoughts are adrift with a song of my heart, and the song of my heart with a voice of my soul. Adrift, 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 drifting ever back.